We are going to take a closer look at Saturday's rally for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. The event ended early when two organizers with Black Lives Matter took the stage. Sanders left without addressing the crowd that had been waiting for hours to hear him speak. Gerald Hankerson, the president of the Seattle King County NAACP, was there, and he joins us now. Gerald, you were the first speaker at the rally on Saturday. What was your impression of the event?
Well, originally, obviously, there's a lot of mixed feelings about the event because I actually thought it was a beautiful event for the purpose of why we were there, to celebrate the anniversary of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And obviously, it's an important program that supports a large part of our community who's relying heavily on those programs. And overall, people were speaking and sharing their thoughts about it. And of course, as the first speaker, setting the stage about why we were there. And ultimately, after maybe an hour in, as you know, the Black Lives Matters took over and had issue with presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, and they took their tactics and did what they did. I've been hearing and witnessed a lot of different things that have took place down there that day. And, you know, obviously for the last couple of days, you've been reflecting and thinking about it and hearing so much from so many people on their take from it. Some obviously really applauding how some folks reacted, but for the large part, some of the way the Seattleites reacted to these young ladies and this movement was horrifying to me. Some of the things that was being said and heard by the folks that was solely there to hear Bernie Sanders speak rather than hear what these young ladies had to say was troubling for me.
I want to hear what some of what those women had to say. So let's listen to just a little bit of this.
Get off the stage! We will begin the moment of silence for Mike Brown now.
Some of the crowd chanting Bernie, they're telling the two young women to leave the stage. You said, if I could paraphrase, that you were torn by what occurred at the rally on Saturday. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, because there's a bit of, I don't either support nor oppose what happened or what took place. The revelation of what happened after these young ladies just took the stage, I don't think you can pick up from a microphone that happened to be in the area rather than the ears unless you were there. And obviously, there were some horrific things being yelled at these young ladies or these, organizers that I found to be troubling, but also indicative of Seattle, which proved their exact point. I'm not here to judge whether or not that, obviously, whether I support the tactic or not, but I also know that, direct action and civil disobedience and disruptions of business as usual have been tactics that has been used for decades now to have your issues heard. But when you're there on this location and you see and hear things that's being said and the people that was really upset the most and yelling some of the most horrific things, it proved the exact point to what these young ladies was pointing out. Now, let me just be clear that I'm not saying whether they did was right or wrong, because that's not for me to judge or say. But obviously, race matters, Black Lives Matter, and they took advantage of an opportunity to address a presidential candidate who have yet to say this publicly. And ultimately, as the young ladies indicated in their rally, that judging by the reactions of the crowd that was more concerned about a presidential candidate than what they had to say, proved their point.
Now, some people would say, well, I'm a supporter, I'm an ally, but I'm upset because I waited for many hours to hear Bernie Sanders speak, and then I was called a racist by someone from the stage.
Well, I also saw that too, as well as, they were referring to everybody. And as president of the NAACP, it's a difficult conversation to have, even with your allies, because when we talk about black or white, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about every white person. They're actually talking about the white supremacists. And for those that doesn't feel that they have white supremacist views, should not be offended by it. The reality is that it exists and it's real, and we see it on a daily basis. But there are also many that deny it exists, which is what some folks refer to as liberals or progressives that claim to fight for this fight, but yet they don't address the race issue. And obviously, if Bernie Sanders is someone that these people that wanted to come see but not listen to these young people's message or what they wanted to convey, then that just revealed exactly what they came there to do, to show you more want to come and hear what somebody that's here to say, that's not willing to talk about race, and ignored me, what we had to say about it. And this is where the problem come in. This is why they do these direct actions, because it's an important issue to talk about race. And when there don't want to be a discussion about it, they come up with tactics and direct actions to intervene and disrupt. And
some of the organizers on the stage were African-Americans for this event. What do you think is the message for them?
I don't understand that question. Say that again.
Some of the organizers of this event were with Washington Ken. They were African-Americans. They were hoping that this event would go forward. Is there something a message that comes out of what happened on Saturday for them?
Well, I mean, you know, all regardless of where you're employed or who you work for or who pays your bills, these are still issues that impact all the communities of color. Whether or not you're actually there on stage or you're someone out in society who wasn't there, the issue itself impacts all of us, regardless of who you're employed by. So I can't speak for anyone as an African-American that was standing on stage, but I can tell you as me, as an African-American man, I appreciate the fact that race was being pushed to the forefront to create the discussion that most folks are afraid to have a conversation about, particularly here in Seattle. And regardless of how uncomfortable or comfortable I felt with doing it, a direct action is meant to disrupt and create the discomfort that forces people to talk about something they've been afraid to talk about.
How does this conversation about race move forward?
Well, that's right now. My role and my goal is obviously to take advantage of this opportunity to talk, to create an educational opportunity rather than try to fight it, because, again, all this did for me and for others, I'm sure, is created elevated the conversation about race again, as we've had several times opportunities before, but they seem to go away, and people have to be willing to have this straight up conversation now. My goal is to help heal, finding ways to talk to people, allies, regardless of race, to come together to first recognize that there is a systemic problem here, particularly in our society, particularly here in Seattle, and to address some of the racial inequalities that we're fighting for. You have to also remember and consider now that we live in a city that claims to be one of the most progressive in the nation, but two of our biggest institutions is currently on the DOJ's investigation, the police department, as well as our education system. And if we were truly as progressive and that noble city sitting on a hill, then we should have resolved these problems rather than relying on the government to come in to obviously take over to fix some of the problems here. The fact that this had to take place lets us know we have a problem here in Seattle when it comes to about race. And clear, after Saturday, it's clear to see why.
Gerald, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gerald Hankerson is the president of the Seattle King County NAACP. After Saturday's rally, the Sanders campaign put out a statement addressing racial justice. It says this: "We must pursue policies that transform this country into a nation that affirms the value of its people of color. That starts with addressing the four central types of violence waged against Black and Brown Americans: physical, political, legal, and economic."